Okay, so just to quickly summarize where we were up to. So, the implication of our Gemara, not the implication, the clear inference that one must derive from our Gemara, where we deal extensively with if a goy brings something from outside the Tchum, is it also for you, is it also for other people, etc., 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 is that it is forbidden for you to violate Tchum to get food on Yom Tov. Otherwise, this would not be a discussion. And the question is, why is that true? It is Ochal Nefesh, presumably. I need to get food, and therefore, I should be allowed to do this. So, in order to answer that question, we had to get to the nature of the Isser. So, first things first is, does anybody think Tchum is Da'oraisa? So, the answer is, Rabbi Kiva thinks Tchum is Da'oraisa. The other sheets in the Gemara presumably do not. However, it's not totally clear, because in the Yerushalmi, what we discover, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah does imply that Tchum of 2,000 Amot is Da'oraisa. That seems to be not what he means, or it's a typo, or God knows what. But let's assume that's not what he means, actually. But in the Yerushalmi, we find a position that even those who argue on Rabbi Kiva think that there is another Tchum of 12 mil, which is Da'oraisa, which is biblical. This is the position of the Rambam and the Rif. The Ramban argues, and the Ramban says that's the position of the Yerushalmi, but in the Bavli, it's not true. Either you hold the Tchum of 2,000 Amot is Da'oraisa, or you hold the Tchum is entirely Derabbanan. Okay, now if it is... Now, what is the two questions that we had to ask about Tchum? One is it a malacha or not? And two, what is its nature? So, is it a malacha? So, one could easily read the Gemara in Shabbos as saying that it is a malacha because, and this is the way the Amudei Or reads it, because the Gemara refers to a Mechalel Shabbos, and the Gemara says, who is a Mechalel Shabbos who isn't Chayav Misa? The Gemara gives two possibilities. One is Rabbi Yossi of Havara, right, lighting a fire according to Rabbi Yossi, which does seem to be a malacha without capital punishment, because Rabbi Yossi still ostensibly agrees that there are 39 malachot, even though he thinks one of them doesn't get the death penalty. And then there's Rabbi Kiva of Tchum. Now, if you compare the two, so then what would come out is that it is a malacha. However, the Marsha argues that it's not. Why not? Because the Marsha argues that Ochel Nefesh only permits milacha. Tchum is not a malacha, and therefore Tchum is not mutter for Ochel Nefesh. We noted it's a bit weird, because malacha is more chamor, is stricter than a regular lav, so why should Tchum not be included? But that was where we left with the Marsha. We also noted that in terms of not the question of is it a malacha or not, what exactly is the nature of the Isser Tchum? So, Rav Lichtenstein had two formulations. One is that Tchum is... stay home, right? The other is don't leave. Rav Lichtenstein suggested that that Rabbi Kiva's position. Well, let's start the other way. The position of 12 mil is really saying. Wait, okay. The positive formula is just confusing. Let's put it differently. Tchum is either. Right, don't leave your home, / stay in your home, or don't leave society, right, / stay within society. Right now, we could formulate that positive, negative, however you want. But he argued that that's really the difference between 12 mil and tchum. Right, tchum is, the way we derive it, is from the size of the fields around a city. So it's the equivalent to a city of your front yard, backyard to your house. Right, stay within your house, right, don't leave your house. Right, but here it's don't leave your city, as opposed to 12 mil, which is the entire expanse of the Machane Yisrael, implies like this is society. Don't go beyond. Right, don't leave society. Now, which of those lends itself more to a malacha? So Rav Lichtenstein suggested that Rabbi Kiva lends itself more to the notion that it's a malacha, because this notion of don't leave your Dalet Amot, let's say, right, stay within the city, is functionally similar to the Isser Hotzah, right? Don't leave your Dalet Amot, right? Don't walk Dalet Amot v'Sharavim. Don't walk out of your house carrying something. Now, yes, one of them is about the person, one of them is about the object, but we see in Hotzah that there is this notion that leaving your home, leaving Rishuyot, or walking outside of your Dalet Amot, which is your sort of personal Rishuyot, is a malacha type thing. So if you think Tchum is a malacha, it's similar, except on the level of person and city rather than individual and home, right? It's just like Hotzah is don't leave your home with something, don't leave a Rishuyot. So Tchum is don't leave your city yourself. As opposed to the 12 mil, which doesn't really have a parallel, right? Doesn't really have a it's sort of unique, right? Stay within the realm of society, which is a bit more broad, and you know, it's a bit speculative, but that's what he suggested.
And that's supposed to be Rabbi Kiva's Shita?
Rabbi Kiva's Shita. So according to Amud Dayor, it makes sense, right? Rabbi Kiva, the Amud Dayor thinks that Rabbi Kiva at least thinks it's a malacha, so it sort of makes sense.
Well, except that that's not the way Rabbi Akiva conducted himself.
What do you mean?
He went away to Yeshiva for 40 years, and then he doesn't B'nai Brach on Pesach.
Right, but he didn't do that on Yom Tov or
well,
Shabbos.
He left his house.
Yeah, no, it's on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Yeah, but that's on Shabbos or Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the whole point is on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you stay constrained. Okay, so that's where we were.
Pesach is Yom Tov.
What?
Pesach is Yom Tov.
Yeah, but I assume he went before Yom Tov. And people travel before Yom Tov.
But he didn't stay home.
That's what he said.
Psychologically, if the idea was that you stay home, you don't you celebrate Yom Tov at home.
Well, that's not... It's you celebrate Yom Tov wherever you are.
Right?
It's wherever you are at the beginning of Yom Tov. Right, they have to establish where you are, right? You could travel to wherever you want, as long as once Yom Tov comes, you don't move. Okay. So that was what we were up to. So far, so why is Tchum an Aser on Yom Tov? So, the Marsha, right, pushes back on the Amud Dayor and says, well, the reason is very simple. It's a malacha. It's not a malacha, and only malachot are waived. Why? He doesn't explain. It just is. Another discussion of this is found in 8, 9, 10. Mishnah in Beit Zitazu as follows. Mi shahayu perotav be'ir acheret, ve'eru b'nei otoa ir lavi etzlami perotav lo yaviu lo, ve'im irev hu perotav kamohu. No, sorry. So that's just... I should have put that earlier. That just proves the Tchumen point. Sorry, I should have just put that earlier. Right? The Mishnah later on also proves this point, that Tchum applies on Yom Tov. Right? If you have fruit in another city, and you make an Eruv, so then... right, so if the other people made an Eruv, but you didn't, they can't bring it to you. But if you make an Eruv, then you can. But the point is clear, right? It's, again, in order for you to be allowed to get fruit, you have to have an Eruv Tchumen. Right? I should have put that at the beginning. I don't know why I didn't.
What?
Meaning, your fruit are like you. If you can't, right? Meaning, if you've made a Tchum, your fruit can travel with you. If not, you can't benefit that which is Michlutz L'Tchum. Right? Again, the same point. You can't benefit... which is that from Michutz Latchum. Okay. The number 9. Tosos is discussing a case in Psachim as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Kol Shein Yachol Ikanes B'Shar Achila. The Gemara is discussing what does it mean to be, right, one of the cases of, by Karban Pesach, the halacha is that if you, what's the right word? If you shun, I don't know, that's not the right word. If you... actively ignore the Karban Pesach, then you're Chayv Karet, right? If you are standing in Yerushalayim on Pesach night and you don't bring a Karban Pesach, so this is one of the two mitzvot in the Torah that are positive mitzvot, that if you don't do them, you get Karis. Right? One is Bris Mila and the other is Karban Pesach. But if you are traveling, right, if you're Bederech Rechoka, or you're Tameh, right, or you're impure and you can't bring it, so you're not. You're not Chayv Karet. So the Gemara is dealing with the question of how far is far? And how far is far? Right, if you're in North America on Pesach night, fine. What if you're in Tel Aviv? Are you B'derech Rechoka or are you Chayv Karet? If you, right, you could get there, it's a 45-minute drive. Is that Derech Rechoka or not? So the Gemara, so Yehuda says, it's very simple. It's Michutz Latchum. If on Yom Tov itself you are allowed to enter Yerushalayim, halachically, and you don't, you're Chayav Karet. If you can enter Yerushalayim, right, you could be a 15-minute walk, but if you're a 20-minute walk, let's say, from Yerushalayim, but if you're outside the Tchum, so then, that's it. right? You are not chayev.
And the way Israel's being built up by time, Tel Aviv, your slime, there'll be no sin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what happens in an overstuffed country.
Right.
So the Gemara, so Tosfos then asks, Tema, the Rehuda Menodim, Lechol Lechanetu Chatze Yom, Lechol Laila. According to Yehuda from Modiim, he couldn't get there half day. He said, right, why is it that you wouldn't be able to get from these places without getting to exactly where they are? So he said, maybe the cases where the roads were closed. Okay, fine. So now he comes and he said, what is this case? Right, the case might be, according to Rabbi Kiva, this is where I get the Tchum notion, did like Tchum and Daraisa. According to Rabbi Kiva, holds Chum is Daraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Yocholik and Madrim at Samach LeTchum beTchilas Alayla veLeke beNayu Hashda Kulei Hai veChen Mash beYerushalmi. So Tosfos says, what's the case where you might not be able to get in to the city if you're Chos LeTchum according to Rabbi Kiva?
Daraisa.
Who says that Chum is Daraisa? Right. If you're outside the Tchum according to Rabbi Kiva, that's what the Gemara is talking about.
The Shech, the Korban before Yantar started.
Yeah, but if you're not able to get there to eat it, so then you're, right, I mean, if you're going to be too far by the time you get there,
because
someone could shecht on your behalf, right? You can send your shleich to shecht, but if you're not going to get to Yerushalayim in time to eat it, so then you're not chayav karet for ignoring the Karban Pesach.
But the question is, how do you shecht it? You don't.
Well, you don't have to shecht it yourself. Someone else can shecht it. No, you have a shleich.
You're on Yerushalayim.
Yeah, so someone else does it. Shleich. You're part of a chabura.
Right.
There are other people. You always have to be part of chabura, which means there are other people there. Right,
but what do you do for Pesach if you don't make it all the regal?
No, so then you aren't there.
How do you shecht the korban?
You don't shecht the korban. That's the point.
You don't have
if you're not there, you're not chayev.
Seems to be some evidence that people actually did. And
oh, for sure, you're supposed to be all the regal for sure. But if you don't, you're not chayev kares.
Yeah.
And if you don't make it, you don't make it. Right, meaning it's not a good thing, but you're not chayev kares.
There seems to be some evidence that people actually had bummas. Even during
time. Oh, the fact that people violated the halacha, that we know, but that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what you're supposed to do. But what we have here in Tosfos, at any rate, is evidence that not only, right, does Tchum not doche ochal nefesh, it seems not even to be doche the Yisr Kares, or whatever, the Chiyuv Kares worthy mitzvah of Karban Pesach. It doesn't allow you to do that. And the question is, why? So Rabbi Kiva Eger addresses this. In 10, he says, Tamu alimao, demayeri de rekiva lashitas, so disreal at chumunda rice, alo avim, chumunda rabbonon, hamidu chacham devrayem, ve osir le lechus latchum, mishumachilas pesach, kahid isra shana, beshofer in mevin chus latchum. So Tosfos, so Rebekiva Eger says, wait a second. It sounds like from Tosfos that this is only true according to Rebekiva. But if chum is only de rabbonon, then you would be allowed to violate it and come in on Yom Tov. And then he said, "Gam kashali, avim tchumah daraisa." But then he says the next question, which is more important, right? He says, "And even according to Rabbi Kiva, if you say this daraisa, amaylo l'ter lo lecha veiso lechol." I don't understand, right? He said, "Tosfos implies it's only according to Rabbi Kiva." So he said, first of all, why is that true? Sometimes, right? He asked l'shnei kivunim, right? He asked in both directions. He said, one, it could be that even if it's Dirabbanan, you wouldn't be allowed to violate a Dirabbanan for Pesach. Sometimes that's true. That question doesn't bother me as much for now. I mean, it does, but it's not for now. His bigger question is the second one, which is, even if you hold that Chum is Daraisa, why is this true? It doesn't make any sense. He should be allowed to go, Kamo Chom Alecha Zochal Nefesh. It's no worse than food. It's no worse than eating. Here it's eating. Plus Yisr Kares.
Right,
but he said, why isn't it under Ochel Nefesh? Right, it's Ochel Nefesh. You're going for food. Plus it's a mitzvah. So why, even according to Rabbi Kiva, shouldn't you be allowed to go? And maybe you'll tell me, well, walking itself is an Ochel Nefesh. It's too far removed. How it's more removed than carrying a knife? You're allowed to carry a Yom Tov.
Right.
And don't tell me that eating the Karban Pesach isn't food because it's a karban. Right? It's a karban, and therefore we already saw that karbanos, right? Lochem v'lo lo gavoa, mochel nefesh doesn't count. Because you're allowed to roast the Pesach on Yom Tov, which proves you it is Ochel Nefesh. Vimkein, Maishna Tzliya, Maishna Michutz Latchum. So he said, I don't understand this whole thing. Right? And he just, right, doesn't know. He said, I don't get it. Now, from Rabbi, now, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out a few things, right? One is that, what?
Did you give any answers
to it? I thought he did, and I put it, but I guess I didn't, because he put, you know, the end. Now I have to look up what he said. The...
Is this a Bar Ilan or Rabbi Kiva?
Yeah, Rabbi Kiva Eger is the Bar Ilan. But he says, right, he doesn't understand the whole sugya because it should be ochel nefesh, right? And now what's the problem? Now, so from Megidda Eger, though, what do you see? That he assumes misvara, right? He just assumes, no, that's why I put it, right? No, he just leaves it as a tarchin, I think, but I have to check. But he assumes misvara that ochel nefesh is pushed away for tchum, right? He assumes that it is. Right, his only question is, how is this worse than Tchum? But it sounds like from the first half of Rabbi Kiva Eger that that perhaps what it is, it's Derabanan. Right? Because he says, right, into both directions, he said, I'm willing to entertain the possibility that even if Tchum was only Derabanan, you wouldn't be allowed to violate it to eat Karbon Pesach. Because sometimes Chazal are just Oser, they protect certain laws that even Derabanan. And simply saying it's daraisa is not enough to prove you wouldn't be allowed to do it because it might be ochel nefesh. That leaves you with the possibility that maybe his first answer is right. That maybe the answer to all these questions is it's derabanan. Right? Really, tchum is on a daraisa level. Maybe it is nidche. Right? Maybe it is nidche. But derabanan, it's not. Why? I don't know.
His first question. He says. It made it sound it's only means the right of it. The Rabbanan maybe you also wouldn't be able to do it.
Right. So Tosos makes it sound like only according to Rabbi Kiva you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Isn't Tosos trying to explain what the Torah means when the Torah says B'derech Rechoka?
So possibly, though he's trying to explain to Rabbi Huda's position of how far you are.
Yeah, but so how far you are according to
you're the right. Torah, it could just be that that's what he's doing. You're right. So, it could just be that Tosos is explaining the Pesukim, in which case it wouldn't work under the Rabbanan.
Yeah, you can't say that it's prevented from Nisra Rabbanan because the Torah is not talking about Nisra Rabbanan.
Right? Correct. Right. You could. Right. You could definitely do that. Now the reason I put Rabbi Kiva Eger is simply because Rabbi Kiva Eger isn't so convinced that it's true that ochel nefesh is not permitted. Right. Does not permit tchum. Right. He seems to assume it is. Right, which leads you to believe that maybe he thinks that on Daraisa level it is, and Darabanan level maybe not. I don't know why. Right? Maybe Tchum is too far removed. You know, I mean, there are all types of things that are Mutter Daraisa and Aser Midrabanan. Right? Havara. Right? Havara is Mutter Daraisa. We Aser lighting a new flame because of Molid. Right? There are all types of weird Darabanans where the Torah is extremely Mekel and we're extremely Machmir. So it could be that this is one of those. I don't know why, but it could be.
Is there a love not to go up on Ola L'Regel?
No, it's a chiv to go. It's an assay.
There's no love.
No, but carbon pesa. I mean, carbon pesa is also an assay. It's a series of assays. Very chamor assays.
There's no loss. Not a loss assay.
No, there's only a loss assay of going reikam, but not right. There's an assay to go, and if you go, then there's a loss assay to go reikam. Okay.
So there's no requirement.
To so Rabbi Kiva, but yeah.
You're saying that Rabbi Kiva is.
Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to entertain.
That a possibility that Achilles Nefer should be able to...
Correct, but it may be the Rabbanan, right? That's what you sort of see from Rabbi Eger, but which is even, you know, I mean, it makes some sense, but it's weird, right?
It goes against the Mishnah, right?
Well, I mean, he would assume that maybe our Gemara is only the Rabbanan, which just makes everything even weirder.
Right.
So who really tackles this question? Because so far, what do we have? We have Rabbi Eger, who thinks, really, Ochel Nefer should push aside Tchum. We have the Marsha, who has his weird Shita, that... Tchum is not pushed aside for a formal reason, namely it's not a malacha, right? Which A may not be true because the Mudei Or assumes it is a malacha, at least according to Rabbi Kiva, and B, what does that have to do with anything, right? Meaning that should make it more makel. Okay, so who actually deals with it? So a few of the acronym deal with it. I gave you a few. So the Chassam Sofer deals with this question. Shlishit lahanal. Al daran sheki lato shall yidei siba umekra irasha nechzar lehem yayin de machzaram lekidush beyom machron shel chagas sukkot avar. It once happened. You asked me the following shayla. For whatever reason, you ran out of wine on the last days of Sukkot. V'toch tchum ma'ir, dar Yisrael achad, shayah lo yayin. And within the tchum, there was a Jew who had wine. Ach, hu irev l'makom acher. But he made an eruv in the wrong direction. And as we saw in the Mishnah before in Lametet, och lo kamohu. Right, meaning, if right, so now what happened, right? Technically, he should be able to get to that point in the city. But he can't, because he made a tchum in the opposite direction, and therefore, for him, right, okay, if we do this, right, he's within the city, right, this is the city, he lives within the city. Normally, you're allowed to walk in the entire city, and then 2,000 amot around the city. What happens when you make an eruv tchum, is instead of, what you do halachically, is instead of living in the city, you make it as if you live outside the city, right, so he lives on the border, let's say, of this city, and you set up a tchum, and the tchum becomes your new halachic house. So your house is now
4,000.
Your where you live halachically is not where you are at the beginning of Yom Tov, right? So instead, right? Let's put okay. Let's forget the fact that all of Toronto is in the tchum. Let's put it easy, okay? Normally, let's say the city ended its deals, okay? The city ended its deals, right? So all of us living in Thornhill would be allowed to go to Steeles and then walk 2,000 almost past Steeles. But let's say I wanted to go to my in-laws, right, and on Yom Tov, so that would be more than 2,000 almost past Steeles. So what would I do? I would artificially say, okay, I'm going to make an Erev Tchumen farther down Bathurst, right, at Finch or whatever, and then, since that's my home, the end of my city is Finch, and I'm allowed to walk 2,000 amos north of Finch, right? This way I could also walk 2,000 amos south of Finch, right? That's what Tchum does, right? It pushes my home out. So it traps me within a different city, a halachic city that I've now created for myself.
It gives you a second principal residence.
Correct. Well, but a principal residence for Yom Tov, right? Yeah. So now I'm trapped by it. So what happened in this case? Technically, the guy lives in the city, so everybody in the city should be allowed to get his wine. Because he is within the city, and they should get his wine. The problem is that he made a tchum outside the city, so he can't make it to shul, right? Because now he's trapped, right? I can no longer, right? He made his tchum on Finch, so now he can go as far as his house, which I don't know, whatever that is, right? On Tangri, Naniach, right? But he can't go to Ayin Letzion because that's already too far. Because now, right? Even though he should live in Thornhill, he doesn't anymore. For halachic purposes, he lives in Toronto and is visiting Thornhill for Yom Tov, but he's at the border. So now his food is trapped, because the halacha is, ochlo kamohu, that any food you own is trapped by your tchum. So everyone was like, oh God. So what are we going to do? So v'toch tchum ma'ir, dar Yisrael achad, she'elo yayin. Ahu yirev l'makom acher, bo'ban she'eno kana shvita etlo. V'chutz l'tchum atkila. So now the shul could get to him, but his wine isn't allowed to leave his house in the direction of the shul, because he made the tchum in the opposite direction, right? So he can bring his wine down towards Finch, but he can no longer bring his wine north towards center, right? That's the very convoluted scenario.
Everybody goes to his house for Kiddush.
What?
So everybody goes to his house for Kiddush.
Great solution. So anyways, so they asked the Rav, and they said, what should we do? So he said, you can go to Kiddush at his house, but you can't take the wine from his house. So they asked the Chassam Sofer in retrospect, was this the right psak? So he said, yeah. Yafe hora. He's correct. V'chein ro'i lo, u'lechol. Yoshimikomo, probably. The kavanot zoshalolo afanot ravim v'shate kazev l'chadesh chadashim baral d'miyo chesev. Right, he's right against all those people who wanted to invent fake things. Varshom bekitzur, let me explain to you why. Hinei aprichadash reichelchad yom tov v'sefer turei evan b'chagiga yudzayin amdu ala chakira minole leser tchumen b'yom tov. So he said everyone wants to know why is tchumen even asur on yom tov. And they couldn't figure it out. They gave up. Right? I wanted to give you the Turi Evan, but I figured he summarized it for you. Turi Evan asked the question we're asking, and he just gave up. He said, I have no idea. It's clear from the Gemara that Tchumen is Asur Yom Tov, and I totally have no idea why. But me, the Chassam Sofer, it's easy. Lo kashamidi. It's not a question at all. I know why. He said, we learn it from the pasuk of Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. And you could say that's Doraisa like Rabbi Kiva. You could say it's an Asmacht and it's Derabban like everybody else. Al Kol Panim. Kevin Dikra Bimanksiv. Shlo Yetze Ha Ish Mimkomo Yud Bezmeel. Keva delo yarad man biyom tov imken yom mashvi'i lav dafka. So it's very simple. Al yetze ish mimkomo is a pasuk by the man, where the Torah says, on Shabbos and Yom Tov you'll get double man, and therefore you'll have no reason to leave the camp to go get the man. He said, whatever you think, misvara, it's exact.
Yom Tov too? Like, I thought there was a...
So he assumes, right, he says...
I thought the Yom Tov, it's a question of Midrashim, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a diun, right? So he assumes, right, yes, like those positions in the Midrash,
right,
that there was no man on Yom Tov either. You got a double portion before Yom Tov.
Right.
So he said, so why is there tchum on Yom Tov? It's Gzeiras HaKasuv. Because the original, if you were Rabbi Kiva, what are you saying? It's the rice of Am Yetzei Yishmim Komo, but what was the pasuk talking about? It was saying that on Yom Tov, you can't leave the Tchum to get food, because you'll have double food prepared before Yom Tov, which tells you, for whatever reason, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, that Tchumin doesn't violate Yom Tov. And even if it's an Asmachta, we derive it from here.
But isn't there the seed of the answer to the whole question? Since the whole concept of tchum is loyasish mekomo to get man, which is food, and you can't do it on Yom Tov.
Exactly.
So therefore, yeah, it shows that for ochel nefesh, you can't violate the
tchum. Exactly, that's what he says. That's the point. Yes. Right? He says, that's the raya. Then he says, okay, I've proved it. Why is it true, though?
For ochel nefesh, you can't? Or
you can't. That even for ochel nefesh, you can't.
Why can't?
Because that was the whole point.
Yeah, but they had the man. They didn't have to go outside.
No, but that's the point. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a double portion so that you won't need to go, and Mimela, you aren't allowed to go.
Yeah, but that would imply that if you didn't have, you could go out.
No, because once the Torah says, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, right, even though, meaning, what is the implication of the Psukim according to Chasam Sofer? That God had to give you a double portion, so that, because you, even if he hadn't given you a double portion, you wouldn't be able to get the food. Therefore, to solve the problem, God gives you a double portion.
I
right?
I would kind of read it the other way around,
So now, but then the Chasam Sofer asks, okay, but wait a second. That only explains how we know it. But why is it true? Right? I mean, there's two things. One is, how do we know? How do we know? Fine, it's a pasuk. But why should it be why is this true? That's Alan's question, right? Why? It's very good. So it is true. Why is it true? It makes no sense. So he says, "Mash kaza marsha beperakam gedeksubos mytom lohum lohuter tchum nazar chol nefesh kushu gedola hilachora." He said, "Look, I've proven that it's true, and I know what pasuk it's from. But the marsha's kasha is a good question. Why? It makes no sense. It is true, but why is it true?" Davos machon makom lamakom mechshav chol nefesh velo rak machshirim. He said, "Carrying food is considered ochol nefesh directly." It's not machshir ochel nefesh, but it's not preparatory because we allow carrying in Rishus HaRabim Da'araisa on Yantif. Right, we're even more makel on carrying, even for a little bit of a need. To be toch shehut ochel nefesh, mamish hutar shlo litzarch. By carrying, we're so convinced that carrying is ochel nefesh that we allow you not just to carry food, we allow you to carry anything. Right? A little need, and you're allowed to carry. So he said, great, I have a pasuk. Wonderful, but it's totally illogical, because tchum is very similar to the isser of carrying, and you're allowed to carry on Shabbos and Yantif. Sorry, not on Shabbos. You're allowed to carry on Yantif. So why shouldn't you be able to carry michutz tchum on Yantif? Meaning, okay, it is true, but why? Aval emes yoredarko, dengan kushya kal, it's not a question at all. I always love how people say it's not a question at all, when they're like banging their head against a wall to get it. Right? After I thought about it for years, it wasn't Akasha. It was Akasha, just you have an answer. Okay,
it's
fine.
It's rhetorical.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's funny. You know, you have to write this translation. One of my teachers liked doing this, right? Nir lefiyah nias daiti is, I have a big chiddush. Right? Lule de Mistafina, right? If I wasn't afraid of him, I would say, means I'm gonna say it anyways, right? It just, but I have to preface it by saying I'm afraid to say what I'm about to say. But but I'm going to say it, right? If you were really afraid, you wouldn't say it.
That's the rhetoric, right?
I know. It's a funny rhetoric, though, right? Lulei dinistafina hayiti omer. If I was afraid, if I wasn't afraid, I would say it. But I'm going to say it anyways, because... yeah. Anyways, fine. But he says, what is it?
Which one?
So now he goes back to Chassam Sofer, the Mimarsha rather. He says, if it was a malacha, fine, be ochel nefesh. Technical, right? His answer after the whole that is technical. The answer is it's not a malacha. And only malacha is waived. Said, the answer is because it's not a malacha. And he said, I'll prove it to you, right? So in the end of the day, he comes back to the Marsha, right? But he adds something and he says, I'll prove to you that such things exist. He said, the Marsha just threw this around, right? The Marsha said, well, anything which isn't a malacha isn't mutar on yatif. He says, okay, he's right. He's right, that's the key. But so what? He said, it is true, but why is it true? So he doesn't explain it ad hasof, but what he does say is, look, it's not unprecedented. For example, chametz bepesach. Right? Chametz, right, this would be a great heter. You're allowed to eat chametz on Pesach because it's tzorech ochel nefesh. So that's why he writes, that's ridiculous, right? Meaning, there's different types of isurim, right? Some have to do with malacha, and some are just isurim that have to do with the yontif. And he says, what the Torah is telling you clearly is that tchum is not in the same category of malacha. It's something else. What is it? I don't know. Right? Meaning, it's whatever we said before. God doesn't want you to leave civilization. Right? He wants you to stay within your city. And apparently, the cost to your Yom Tov experience of traveling would be so great that we forbid it even for food. Why? I'm not quite sure. But he said, it's true, there are just other things that sometimes God said, look, all of our joy on Pesach would be enhanced if we could just have bread. Right? We could just have chametz, but we don't do it. It's memait simchas yom tov. It's against ochel nefesh. Okay, but sometimes there's a cost. Why is tchum in that thing? I don't know, but it is. Umayin yinzeh leheter ochel nefesh v'in shumma kom lahatir lezoch ochel nefesh umidor aisa. Ukshem shein lahatir beitza shenolda b'yom tov achar Shabbos zoch ochel nefesh. He said there's other things. There's mukta problems, nolet problems. Right, an egg born on yom tov, we paskin, is usher to eat. Why? It's ochel nefesh. Mukta. I mukta zederabanan, or nola zederabanan, probably, except according to Rashi, it's daraisa. Fine. Why aren't you allowed to eat something which is mukta? Because you can't. Why isn't it waived for ochel nefesh? I don't know. But there are things that aren't waived. So the Chassam Sofer, right, he basically says, in the end of the day, the answer is, look, I have a pasuk. That's how I know. Formally, why does it work? Because it's not a malacha. That should make it more lenient. No, we have other isurim that exist. On Yom Tov, chametz, chadash, what, pick, take your pick. Mukta, on a derabanan, right? And daraisa, and derabanan levels, there are things. Why is it true? He said, look, I don't know why it's true. He doesn't really explain why. He just says, look, don't be so surprised.
Just like the
Marsha,
basically.
No, he's quoting the Marsha. He's just pushing it a little bit farther. He's like, yeah, the Sabar to Ozen. He's saying the Marsha is basically right.
He's interpreting.
Right? It's not a malach.
No, I understand.
But he said, but I have two things on the Marsha. One is I have a pasuk. And two is, I know the Marsha sounds counterintuitive, but he said it's not the only example of something which is not a malacha, which isn't waived. Right? Chametz and Pesach also. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that is, I find his two comparisons.
Oh, yes, it's weird.
But,
correct.
But for a specific reason. He says, well, you know, look at Chametz and Pesach, what's the other? Chadash. They're not usher Mishum Yontif. They're usher
Mishum
from a specific Isser of that day.
Correct. But then he points out Mukta and Nolad. So even on Derabanan levels, there are things which are food oriented that we usher for whatever reason. Right, and that is general. That is generic.
That I find more general.
Yeah. Correct. You're right. Meaning, I assume this is more rhetorical. The Chametz of Pesach. His point is that not Ochel Nefesh doesn't get rid of everything. It gets rid of Malachot. Right now, you're right. The big question that he still doesn't answer, right? As much as he says he answers it, he really doesn't. All he does is help you a little bit with the Marsha. Right? Meaning, he tells you, right? All he does by bringing the Pesach thing is to say the Marsha is technically correct, that if something isn't a malacha, it doesn't automatically get wiped away. But he doesn't explain the why. He just says, I'll prove it to you from other cases, both the Oraisas and the Rabbanans, that it is true. Right? Don't mean... But he doesn't really get at the heart of it. The person who really gets at the heart of it is the Kilas Yaakov, is the stipler, in 12. And he says, no, okay. He's like, I'm going to actually explain this to you. And what he says, I'll summarize it outside, then we'll read it. And he says, the key to it is the Ramban. The Ramban said, there's a rule. And we've seen this Ramban several times already. The Ramban says there are two types of Yisurim on Shabbos. Malacha and Malachas Avoda.
Right,
Malachas Avoda is work. Malacha is Malacha. It's something which is creative. And the Ramban said, on Shabbos, all Malacha is Asur. On Yom Tov, only Malachas Avoda is Asur. Right, only work is Asur, but things that are not work, but they're just creative, are permitted for food. Right, because of Ochel Nefesh. And how does the Ramban define the difference? Because why isn't Zoreya, right? Why isn't planting or threshing or plowing, why isn't that a food malacha? The Ramban says, because if something is considered processing of food, that's permitted. That's not work. That's food processing. But anything that is too early in the process, because it's dealing with something that is not yet food, right? It's still produce. It's still in the field. That's work. Right? Agriculture is work. Cooking is food preparation. Right? That's basically the Ramban's logic. Right? And that's why plowing, planting, whatever, right? I mean, all the things that we think of, right? Or if we want to take it into modern terminology. What does a farmer do?
Repertory.
Right? What does a farmer do? And what is a, right? What does the farmer do? To prepare food? And what does your average balabas do to prepare food? Right? Where's that line drawn? Right? Planting, plowing, threshing, all that stuff. It's true, it's in food preparation, but you don't do it, right? That's the stuff that's done before it gets to your house. That's what's usher on Yom Tov. But what's mutter are all those things that happen in processing of food once it gets into your house. Right? All the things that are reasonably what a person does once the food is already, right? It's not wheat anymore, it's flour. Right? And now I'm preparing it. I'm baking a loaf of bread. All the things that I would say, I'm going home to cook. Right? If I was saying I'm going home to cook, I would include in that sifting, my flour maybe, right? And I would include, well, maybe not, but whatever. Kneading. Right? Lisha, right? Meaning, Lisha Me'elach, the kneading, the baking, the whatever. I wouldn't include the cutting down of the wheat, right? This is already mugzam, right? This is like too far off. Or the way the Ramban puts it. If it's not in my, anything that is done before it's in my rishus is field work. Anything that's normally done in the home is housework. Field work is asur on Yom Tov. Housework is not. That's the way the Ramban conceptualizes it.
So what's the difference between shechting wheat and shechting an animal?
So because it used to
unless
be. Right, so classically because shechting was done in your house. That's exactly what it is. Because you didn't have refrigeration, so people shechted the meat right before you needed to. That's exactly what it is, right? That's the difference, is that wheat stays, and therefore you cut it down, you let it dry, you heap it in piles. Meat, when you don't have, that's what refrigeration throws everything off. But fundamentally, shechita is something that was done right before you ate.
It's no different than leisha.
Exactly. That's really the answer. So that's what the Kilas Yaakov says. He said, if that's the case, what's the paradigmatic isser that's about taking things that are too far off? Tumen. He said, Hotzah not. Right? Because Hotzah, I'm carrying either from outside into my house or within Dalat Amos, but within my city. Right? Within the city. The whole word of Tumen is that it's outside the city, which means
it's remote.
It's remote. That's the whole word. And therefore, Tum fits the Ramban's paradigm as what should be usher, and that's what he says. Veneer di shlomer o time of azamim vashkoz of Rambanzal. Peregain sadin bahadlo sharin ktira utchina biyomta. He said, the Ramban said, why isn't cutting grain down or grinding, why is it usher? Afo pishum lechazochal nefesh. even though it's food oriented. He says, "Lafisha malachos elu nasos liyamim harbe v'chlam malachas avod." He said, "Those are storage malachot." Right? That was another formulation. It's storage. Right? Things that you can store are done for a long time. Are agriculture things that you know you don't bake your again before freezing. Right? You didn't. Still, fresh bread, a fresh cake is still better than a frozen one, right? Even with refrigeration. In Kal Vachomer, you didn't have refrigeration. It goes stale in 3 days, right? You didn't do it for a long time, as opposed to grain, right? You can cut down grain and dry it out and last for months, even without refrigeration. Eladakati tiksha mitzedas dogim, utlishas peros hamit kalkalim, kagon te'ena, dasurim biyomta, reymalachos elo nazos elaliyoman. He said, what about fishing or picking a fruit that's about to rot? Isn't that something that's done for the day? Bahatir's Ramban. The Ramban said, "Lo tira Torah ella lahachshir machalim taknam." So Ramban said it's only food prep that's mutter. Avalitzo dagim sheinu b'shuto, things that aren't food prep because the food is still remote, like fishing, the chin lakor migidulo, or to harvest. That's not right. Lo shehein bechlam lechad avoda. That's right. That's agriculture. That's not food prep. Lalan kazav sham od shlo etira tara lahachshir ochlan shibirshuso aval lakor davar migidul lo ad kantochen divrei harambanzal behindu the melechad ochol nefesh yira tara tara ella eno ella bedavar shgam lifnei melachazu yeshlo davar zebrshuto. He said, what if I wanted just to capture all these different formulations, agriculture versus food prep, remote versus local? The point is, is this the type of thing that's done in my house when it's already in my possession or not? Elish shechaser tikkun. Ochel nevish allows you to take something in your rishus that's in your house and fix it. Prepare it. Avol davar shlofnei malacha. But if before the malacha eino matzoi klal, it's out of sight, out of mind. V'hu lo ba lahamtzi la'atzmo guf adavar. You need to do something to even get it into your home. So then, meinin malach ravoda. And I didn't give you the rest of it, but you can, the right. But he said, and therefore his conclusion is that's why tchumen is different, malacha or not. He said, if it's a malacha, okay, it's malacha, but it's not a malacha savoda. Sorry, it is a malacha savoda. But his point is, you want a conceptual answer why this is true. The reason why it's true is because the Ramban told you why it's true. The types of things that are mutter are the things that take place in the home, not in the field. Tchumen, by definition, takes place outside the home. That's the point. And that's why he says it. So I think that's actually very nice, right? After everyone is beating around the bush, right, he says, no, this is the Ramban's point. Right? Everything that we've learned about Ochel Nefesh, that Ochel Nefesh is only applies to things that are already in your rishus and you have to prepare, not things that you have to schlep out to get. What could be more paradigmatic than tchum, which is literally, its definition is going outside of your tchum. That's the point.
That still presumes that there's an existing isser on going outside the tchum.
Correct. So for now, for the Kilos Yaakov, this works for whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan, though, right? We assume it's Asr, but
still presumes
correct. No. So according to Rabbi Kiva, we have a pasuk, it's Daraisa, it's easy. Derabanan, what the Kilas Yaakov will have to say is, conceptually, right, we extend that svara, that logic, to the Derabanans. Because, right, we hold Tchum as Derabanan. But he'll say, okay, fine. But we extend the same logic to the Derabanans, just like we do by Mukta, right? Like, by Nolad, right? Like, Beza Shinolda. Certain things we just extend. But now he's giving you a logic. Why would you extend it? Because it makes sense. It fits with the model of the types of things that we forbid on Yom Tov, namely those that are too far off, and Tchumen by definition are things which are remote. Okay. I think, because I don't want to... Okay, the last few sources I gave you here, I just gave to really sort of flesh out this question of whether Tchum is or is not a malacha. The Turi Evan notes that this is a machlokas that we already discussed by Mechamer, right? Is Mechamer a malacha or not? Um, Oh, so I'm just going to summarize what I put at the end. The Marsha's assumption, right, that if malacha isn't, that if Truman isn't a malacha, so then that's why it's usher, is not clear at all. And we saw this by Mechamer. Right? If you remember when we did Mechamer, Mechamer is the other example of a non-malacha prohibition on Shabbos. And we saw there's a machlokes, whether it is or is not usher on Yom Tov. So if you just look at, skip to 15, I'll just look at the Minchas Chinuch for a moment. He says, Umash ena b'chlam alecha b'shabes, k'gon yisuri lavin, v'aseik, k'gon mechamer, d'ator yichta b'lav, v'fnei atzma, v'ena b'chlam alachos, v'ena chayval, z'eskila b'chatas, im kein, ena b'chlam lo se kom alecha klal, afil b'shabes. He said, anything which is usher biblically, but is not a malacha, isn't under lo sase kom alecha. Rak d'ator kasva lav b'shabes is just forbidden, right? That's simple, right? Mechamer is, according to the Minchas Chinuch, not a malacha, and therefore it's not lo sase kol malacha, it's just usser.
Right.
But what's important is then he says, im kein b'shabes de gali gali, uvi yom tov de lo gali min atara yavur b'lav. If he says, ein mechamer shvizis behem tov noeg b'yom tov, ki lav b'chlam malacha hu. Minchas Chinuch's then conclusion from that was, anything which isn't malacha is memela mutter on yom tov. So I just put this in, because even the Marsha, or the Marsha of the Chassam Sofer, all of them only work, right? They assume that anything which is in a malacha is automatically usher on Yom Tov. The Minchas Chinuch assumes the exact opposite, which is anything which is in a malacha is not under lo sase kol malacha and is therefore automatically mutter on Yom Tov. So therefore,
Tchumen would be mutter.
And therefore Tchumen would be mutter. Correct. So if it wasn't a malacha.
Right.
And therefore, the Minchas Chinuch's, I put them in Chas Chinuch just to point out that it's not just that the Marsha, Chassam Sofer, doesn't explain anything, right? Meaning, it just asserts it's not a malacha and therefore it's usher. You also have Achronim who assume the exact opposite, namely, that it is indeed not a malacha, but therefore anything that's not a malacha is mutter, right? And therefore, the fact that it is or is not a malacha may be relevant, but for the Chassam Sofer, anything which is not a malacha is automatically usher, and the Minchas Chinuch, anything which is not a malacha is automatically mutter, which is why I think we have to come back to the Kilos Yaakov Svara and say, no, we actually have to provide a logic for this, because the malacha, not malacha argument can cut in either direction. Now, where the Minchas Chinuch gets this from, we don't have time, and I don't really want to get into it, but I gave it to you here. Tosfos just, to the Tree Evan, just, if you want a full discussion, you're interested in number 16, I gave you the reference, is that the Tree Evan notes that this is a machlokes rishonim, and the where this notion comes from, that it is or is not a malacha, comes from an analysis of number 13 with the Tosfos and 14, but I'm going to leave it there. But just to summarize what we've seen, like I said, what we saw is that the Gemara clearly assumes that Tchumen is Aser on Yom Tov. The question is why. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't really know, implies that maybe it's only Darabanan. Everyone else seems to assume that if Tchumen is Daraisa, it's Aser on Yom Tov Midaraisa. If Tchumen is Aser Midarabanan, then it's Aser Midarabanan, obviously. Why? So the Marsha assumes that the reason is because Tchumen is not a Malacha. And if it's not a malacha, it's not mutter on Yom Tov, and that's the Chassam Sofer as well. This is difficult for two reasons. One is, it might be a malacha. Well, three reasons. One is, it might be a malacha. Right? Amu they are. Two is, the fact that it's not a malacha, as the Minchas Chinuch notes, might be a reason to be mekel, not machmir. Three is, even if you provide a formal reason, it still doesn't explain the why. Okay, so I've explained it formally, but it doesn't explain the why. The Chassam Sofer tries to explain the Marsha sort of and say, look, there's a pasuk, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, which is talking about food-oriented Isurim. It's not a malacha, and therefore it is Asur. And he said, so why is it Asur? He said, I don't know why it's Asur. It's just that it is, just like other things, like Chametz and Pesach, which are Asur. The person who really tries to explain it is the Kilos Yaakov, and I really like the Kilos Yaakov. And the Kilos Yaakov gives a why, and that is, look, in the end of the day, what the Ramban tells you is the fundamental principle in Ohal Nefesh is that anything that normally happens within the home that is food processing oriented is mutter on Yom Tov. Anything which is remote and happens in the field is usur, because that's agriculture, not food processing. And therefore, the Kilas Yaakov says, by definition, tchum should be excluded, because tchum is taking something from outside, which is remote. That's the whole point. And therefore, if it's a malacha, the reason it's called malacha and matlacha zavoda is because it happens outside. And if it's derabanan, still, why of all derabanans would Chazal impose this one? Again, because logically it fits with that group of malacha that happen out there in the field, rather than those types of malachos that happen in the home, and therefore it's a logical derabanan to impose on Yom Tov, which I think is beautiful, as it really does fit with the theories presented for Ochel Nefesh, as opposed to the Marsha, the Chasam Sofer really sort of beat around the bush here. The Gilas Yaakov gives a logic for it, which I think, he ties it into Ochel Nefesh. He ties it in with a broader system that actually makes sense.
In some ways, a narrow system. He's bringing it back to.
He's bringing it all right to the same part we started with.
Right.
Okay. So then we'll finish with that next week. What? I think that's right. The brother-in-law. Somehow they're, yeah. Okay, next week, like I said, we're not going to focus on more of these muktzah stuff because it drives me nuts. What we're going to do at the end of this sugya, right before the Mishnah, is a discussion of kinyan re'iyah. I figure we'll take a break, do a choshen mishpat sugya, which comes up here. Can you acquire something by looking at it? Which comes up here and the beginning of Basra. And then after that, we'll move to the next Mishnah, which is fun stuff, because the first Mishnah has the one of the most important sugyas about Chazaka and all of Shas. So I'm excited to do that. I opened up my notes from Liechtenstein. I'm very excited. Okay.